This is session number 257, recorded on February 25th, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 7:54 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Good morning. Everything's on tune. Did you have a question, Carol, first?
Well, we have these questions from today.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. We noticed on our whale trip today that the guide was pointing out how the dolphins tend to interact with the whales, Carol. Wasn't that it?
Mm-hmm.
And humans have a question about what is it that goes on between the dolphins and whales that have a relationship that the scientist or somebody hasn't figured out, as if they need to.
Right.
Could you go into what that relationship
is? Sure, sure. It's very simple. The mammal or the mammalian trait, they are mammals and they are beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoy the interplay because, you see, whales eat krill.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins eat fishes.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes just a really fun play, an interplay. And they get along with each other and they do their little thing.
In terms of one eats krill and one eats fishes, they don't fight for each other's food.
Correct. And they don't see each other as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now the next level is you're going to like this one, is the way the whales communicate.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate at a level that's very different than most other mammals, especially those that live in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the dolphins understand.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very significant.
And what we were told is that the male whales are the ones that sing, and it's really not people thought it was a love song because it's the same 15-minute song that they just repeat and repeat, but they're communicating to other males.
Right.
Can you discuss that?
Sure, it's their territory.
Yeah, a territorial song, that's what I thought.
It is, and it's not even that big a deal. It's just they're just letting them know so they don't bump into each other. Not like physically, but they don't get into each other's space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to be great fun. The reason being is because there's billions and billions of krill.
Mm-hmm.
But if you moved all the mammals, all the whales, in an area, in no time it would be devoid of krill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, and then see, because they have migratory patterns that they follow anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so
yes, I was going to ask. The humans are now harvesting krill to make krill fish oil supplements. Are they going to ruin the whales' food supply?
No, honey.
Okay.
No. JW has even some of those, you know, things, those krill. It's not real krill.
Mm.
They're growing that stuff.
Mm. Okay.
It's not real.
What do you mean it's not real?
It's not krill from the ocean.
Ah. What is it?
Do you remember sea monkeys?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sort of like that. They create them from a harvesting situation.
Mm-hmm.
They grow them. They,
uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. They farm them.
Pretty much, and it's not even real krill.
Okay, interesting. Okay, do you want me to go on to the blue cave, Bob?
No, I have a question. So, the mythology is, since the 70s, that the dolphins are more intelligent than us, and they probably give whales credit,
uh-huh.
But humans talk about the dolphins are our future, and they romanticize the dolphins. Could you comment on what the dog, what is humans really mean by that? Or is it true the dolphins are more evolved than us?
What do you mean evolved?
Evolved, I guess they're at a stage of understanding and they communicate with ESP with themselves and with humans and super sensitive or something, you know, they have this extra perceptual ability that we will move towards.
Well, no, easy. They have all that, but it's not different than the human creator. It's very different than the human creator. It's different. But sea turtles do the same thing. But it's not at the human level.
Because they're all non-physical. All nature is like that.
Well,
tune in. They have different ways of expressing it. Dolphins are unique in their form of non-physical resonance. Maybe that's what you mean. But they're not human. They're the non-physical part of us. So it's like the animals, the different animals and insects express different manifestations of the interaction of non-physical, which would be metaphors of what humans experience in the non-physical.
Okay. But it's not that they are more attuned or more aligned or more anything else than anyone else. That the humans take the cake as far as the soul man.
Yeah, we're the only ones who create a soul man.
Correct. And you also created the whales.
Mm-hmm.
We created all of nature, right?
You did. And that's why, you see, after a little while, it's kind of like, well, no, wait a second. How could man create something that's more powerful than they are? Well, that gets beyond it, you see. So that's the clue. That's the only thing that we would clean up.
Right, but it's interesting. Captain Beefheart has a song called Ant-Man Bee. And I always thought that ant were the industrial age. And bee, which is more radio, TV, software, computers, a buzzing reality, is the post-industrial age. So the bee enhances is a metaphor for the social structure that electronic digital life creates. And the ant is a metaphor for the industrial, you know, older and heavy industry world we had in the 1960s. How animals can be metaphors of aspects of human.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Yes. And that's probably a closer way to say it that makes a logical progression that doesn't usurp anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because as McLuhan said, media are extensions of man. All the animals, insects, and that are extensions of man because we created them.
Certainly.
So that's the main point.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm reading a book now called Beauty in the Beasts, and it's a woman who's making a case with in hundreds of stories about animals who show human characteristics of, you know, she's saying love, courage, loyalty, and all this by saving humans or rescuing them or warning them about fires and all that. So I guess it struck me at a certain point reading that if beasts are non-physical, why are they caring so much to
help us?
Yeah, to help us. That seems like taking action in creation. Why are they appearing to act like humans? And these could be animals that have had never had human contact, you know, wild animals or feral animals that...
Okay, Carol. Yeah. Let me try this response and see what Ion says. Humans don't need to help each other. We're all gods, we're our own universe. Animals express the non-physical interreacting of us, and they're actually in complete human extension. They help humans. Humans don't have to help. So the animals are subhuman, so to speak, so they help people. They help, but they don't have the choice of not helping, which humans do have.
Well, that was a good shot, and we like it probably as good as what we're going to say about it.
Okay.
Pretty much, because it's logical, and it works every single time without fail or exception. Now, what we have to say about it, there's a little hanging chad regarding the voting process, because ours may not work every single time without failure exception. So we'd say it's a false premise, but we're saying actually the short version is that the human beast aren't. They aren't helping you. They are responding to you, but that's because of your non-physical in the Creator. An example: nobody ever had cats. Never ever had leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you drag one into your house, and after so long a time, they'll start getting all of your disconnections.
Yeah, right.
And they pick up on them. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nothing other than it's spewing your non-physical in your beingness of your body, spewing over into them.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Dogs, if they live a long time with a human, they'll show you pictures where the dog starts looking like the human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally. I mean, then you show pictures and it's like, my God, that's a little weird. Same thing, husbands and wives will start looking like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the author has a negative image of humans, and many people follow the news, they'll feel negative about humans, and they think the animals are more pure than us, and they're showing us something. What she's missing is nothing.
Well, they are more pure. They are. They right. have no contrast. Good, that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's what she's saying. But no, okay, that's a fact, but then she assumes they're a model for us. They're teaching us, and she misses the point that we... that the animals aren't showing qualities of superior humans. They're just tuning into the human and becoming the human.
Mm-hmm. Correct, and they are what they are. Then she should write a book to teach humans that the meat box in their house is trying to show them the way to cool themselves down.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the technologies are living extensions. Yeah, they're pets, yeah. They're animals too. Technologies,
yeah.
They respond to us.
And if we say that, you go, well, that's just tomfoolery, silliness, but it holds as much water as the concept that she's trying to lay out. And then we ain't pushing against nothing, you know, and if a little bird comes and sits on your wall and sings to you and makes you be happy or find joy from the song of the bird, that bird has no better thing to do than to sing to you. But you can't assume that bird came to straighten out your crooked way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because the bird's going to sing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you're resonating with your non-physical that will draw the butterflies to you, then that's just an essence, the quintessential part of your ability to create.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. There you go. Get it out, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
But now the same thing is true. The same thing is true when the carpenter ants move through your house or Bob has a little wild hair and starts drawing the mosquitoes.
Right.
That's just as applicable, but you would see that in a negative context, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's operating from the point that animals are pure. But
if they respond.
But it's good to be the king, and the humans are the kings because they control everything and created everything.
Exactly.
And so we should celebrate the humans for providing examples for the animals to tune into.
That's correct. Frequencies that are attunable to their vibrational frequency. Good.
Yeah, we provide to the animals' frequency.
And then from that interaction, we humans can find comfort, peace, joy, and sometimes understanding.
Mm.
So that's unique. That's never been said before, Carol. I'm taking off what the author said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and here's the fun of it now. See, we've never said that the sea turtle that Carolyn likes to play with is smarter than she is.
Right.
Okay? But that sea turtle's non-physical could be very, 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 very potent and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer Carolyn is to a vibrational frequency that's pleasing to herself, it's what would draw that sea turtle to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is it? Say that first part. What draws Carolyn to the turtle to Carolyn? The
my own closeness between me and me.
Yeah, I do. So that, so
and the old sea turtle kicks up on that vibrational frequency. Mm-hmm. So the sea turtle isn't straightening out Carolyn. Carolyn is in the vibrational proximity that draws the turtle to her.
Mm.
And the turtle is congratulating Carolyn for being where she is.
And recognizing her skills to pay the bills.
Right. So then we have a friend who takes pictures of turtles every day and has done a book and does a lot with the turtle. Goes out and they all come to him, the same turtle every day.
Yep.
And he, quote, romanticizes the wisdom of these turtles in that. He's not recognizing that it's his own alignment with himself that's attracting these. He should be doing a book on himself.
Well, he kind of is, see?
Yes.
He actually kind of is because of the marvelous, see, here we go. This is easy. I love and appreciate the turtles that I play with. The same turtles show up in my world every single day. I am provided marvelous opportunities to interact with these fabulous turtles. I get to take the best pictures, and they almost pose for my photography. I am so engaged by this delicious experience that I am engaged with these beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing with your dog that'll come lick you in the head and tell you that they love you.
I had a dog dream, I guess, I don't think it was last night, maybe the night before.
Yes.
But it could have been last night, but it was, yeah, I think it was. And I think it's because I've been, you know, reading a little bits about this book, and it was like I was in another world and had my own dog, had a dog there.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cool.
Was this the brown dog with the white spots?
It was a brown dog. I don't remember white spots.
Under his belly.
Oh, okay. I didn't get there.
Short hair.
Where are the white spots? In the undercarriage?
Yeah.
Yeah, under the belly.
Under the body, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so our friend is, in a way, he is there. He's saying, look at what I can do with the turtles. But he doesn't want to emphasize what might appear to be vanity. So he gives a lot of credit to the turtles, but he's showing really how he can attract them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knows that.
But he's just trying to keep it smooth down so he doesn't bring attention. He doesn't want to draw the attention to his power.
Right. But he is, sort of. And the point is that, I don't know how much he totally, he makes a big deal out of the turtles. You don't have to make a big deal out of the turtles. They're nothing. It's you that's doing it. That he may not fully recognize.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Okay, so what the whales? So
sorry.
The dolphins. Oh yeah. So why? Somebody pointed out that the dolphins, they listen to the music, which you're saying is their way of marking out territoriality. It's their space bubble, registered acoustically. People say they all do the same song every year, and then next year, they all do the same song. But it's a different song, and then they all agree on it. Then the next year, different song, but it's the only one they do during that year. What's that programming? Mm. You change the song
hundredth
every year.
Monkey.
What?
Hundredth Monkey.
Yeah, but why do they have a different song every year?
Because it's a new generation, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their whale's been around a long time, but there's a new a new season.
No, Bob. No. They're celebrating, the dolphins are celebrating.
The whales?
They're.
Talking about whales, Bob?
Yeah. The whales have a song every year.
We know. And then they change it, and then they all agree on that one, and they only sing that song for the next year.
Why do they change it?
Because it's a new year.
Yes, new generation, a new season.
It's a new generation. They're different than they were last year.
Wow! So they have the New Year's, was it New Year's Eve party? They end the year, and then on the first day of the new cycle, they create a new pattern.
Would you like to know when that is?
Yeah.
Chinese New Year.
And the Chinese know that?
They most absolutely do.
Wow!
Because that's the rhythm based on the 13-month cycle.
That is correct.
Right, the more real rhythms of nature. That's when all of nature turns over, so to
nope.
speak?
Nope, nope, nope. Different ones do different times. The loon, the loon, the, what are the vanilla orchids? The orchids that grow vanilla.
Okay, a kind of flower. Basically, talking about a flower and then a bird.
Where you get vanilla flavoring from the vanilla bean.
Mm-hmm.
That's their just gestation cycle, and they sing a song.
But wait, the vanilla orchid is the vanilla bean?
It's where the beans come from, is vanilla orchid.
Yeah, so you cited a bird, the loon, a flower, the vanilla orchid, the whale.
The whale, and the bison.
They all do the same February date?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that date, first week in February? Or?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't go by your thing, because your thing isn't right, and it changes.
By the right, at that moment, which we perceive as February, that kind of seasonal, whatever it is in the world,
mm-hmm.
they do this, and the Chinese pick up on that?
Beg your pardon? They do what to it?
The Chinese pick this...
They know about this.
They know about that, and
well,
that's
they
what...
Said, no, they set their calendar based on that knowing.
Yeah, they know that some of this... Plants, fish, and animals, and birds. Do
oh,
that.
Oh, and we forgot another one. The walrus.
Hmm.
Okay.
The lion. The there's sea lions and walruses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing as well, but they're in a very different place. It's not necessarily Chinese New Year, but it's that same type of cycle.
Mm-hmm.
They breed, and then they have their babies, and then that's a year.
Hmm.
Does every species do this?
No.
You've named a few that do this.
Right. Right.
And they generally do it around February, our time. The Chinese noticed those species did that, so they
yep.
said, we'll do it then.
That became the cyclical cycle of their cycle.
Right, and they could have picked any time, wouldn't have met, but they
right.
decided to tune into the whales and the walrus and that. They
sure.
knew of those.
Well, they are great lovers and studiers of all intrinsic within creation,
mm.
you see, because they understand it. Well, and then they even add the dynamic of it. If they don't behave, they have to come back and be one. So
mm-hmm.
they're even more
right.
careful with it.
They're projecting this seasonal pattern for themselves because they value the animals and put the animals maybe on a pedestal above them because they, as a culture, don't know their gods.
Sometimes.
The mass mind, maybe, but they're individuals
okay.
who know it.
Yes, and their degrees thereof. Okay, now here, let's do the difference. Now, there's one more one that we'd like to add, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
The Indian elephants and the African elephants.
Mm.
Their songs are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely, and their cycles are different.
Are they all doing it? The loon for territorial reasons?
No, not necessarily.
The whales yeah, are, though, just to understand. The whales
well, they
it.
Are, but yes, they are, but that's not territorial as in I'm building a fence
no.
and trouble
it's
me
just,
no more.
It's just
giving them heads up. I've eaten all the krill here, so you might look somewhere else.
Ah, well, in that sense, they're communicating and helping or... adjusting.
Yes, because you can have two male whales; they don't fight. Now, when their cows, you know, cycle and are in heat, then it was always a he-man kind of thing. But that gets sorted out really quickly. You see, I mean, it's as easy as saying, "I'm sorry, sir, that's my wife."
Yeah.
You know, thank you for stopping by, but, you know, thanks. You see, but it doesn't have to be a fist fight. You know, you don't have to kill someone else who looks at your wife. But if you understand who you are in your relationship, just like the whales, then just letting them know that this one is called spoken for, then that's the end of the conversation. Now, and this is also then
they get?
The frequency of the song.
They're like the new humans born in. They're up to date.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because otherwise, it's actually the babies who set the new song.
Mm.
And there's such an attunement with the calves, with the mamas, that it moves
as
the dads to adjust. That's why the song changes.
Right, so the women, mothers pick it up, and the males pick it up, and then they establish it for themselves.
Yes, and then that's regardless if it's a cow or a bull that's born.
Well, apparently it's just the males that do the singing?
Yes,
yeah,
that's correct, but it doesn't matter if it's a female whale calf
mm-hmm.
that's born.
Mm-hmm.
They still set the song.
Yes.
But they don't sing.
Right.
What's the song, Carol?
They set, S-E-T, the song.
The calves do.
Yeah, it's like their vibration.
Male and female set the tone.
Right.
The calves and of the male and female calves set the tone. The mother is sensitive to it, picks it up, and then the whales, the male whales, adult males, pick it up from the women.
Yeah.
They know what to work with.
And then the 100th monkey kicks in.
Right.
And then they all sing the same song. And now that's even beyond the species, because you have lots of different kinds of whales.
Yeah.
And they all sing the same song.
Of that year.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. You can point that out to a marine biologist. You know that different species of whales sing the song you're getting from the humpback whale.
Yeah. And then you can say, they'll say, gosh, Dr. Dean's husband, that's very interesting. Where did you come by that information? You say, oh, I was looking at a website, Alternate Slack, and they told me all about it.
Okay, so, what was the next? The marine biologist said that scientists thought that it was a love song, but then they found out that they weren't being sung to the females. So it was among mm-hmm. the men. So I suggested they were gay. Everybody laughed, but they took me seriously. And then they established that they didn't know why they sung, but now we know why.
Mm-hmm.
And why it's the males. So then, why do the whales breach?
And
I'll just say that, because it looks competitive to us. They start trying to outbreach each other.
Well, no. They're just playing, Bob. See, they have to come up to get air. They
right.
breathe air. So they do that if they're frisky, then it's like a really fun jumping, splashing, you know, churning, stretching. The same way you swim differently sometimes.
Yeah.
The same way there, it's just the opposite for them. And then they play with it, and then the higher they go, sometimes they're letting their presence be known, especially the mamas. When they're calving, they'll tear you up when you start fooling with their babies now.
So the females breach, too.
Well, that's what we know, yes.
Lurch out of the sea.
So they absolutely do. Maybe more so than the males sometimes. Especially when they have a new baby.
Right, because, you know, Carol, people think that the whales are breaching, the male whales, to show off for the female.
Mm.
But the female's doing it, is not watching that, I assume, and is doing
no,
it for its own.
No, they don't do it for that at all, because you understand there's no sexing going on this time of year. They're calving. They've got new babies.
Yeah. So you're
so
saying...
It's not a pheromone issue at all.
Yeah, you're saying the female whales do it for other reasons. And the male whales do not do it to impress the female.
No, they do not, because that season is gone, you see. Because they don't think, hey, you look pretty hot. No. It's all a natural flow of pheromones when they cycle and, you know, come in heat and get pregnant. And that's when they, you know, that all hooks up. There's never a compassion involved in coitus with the beast.
No passion.
Right.
Yeah. Do they feel their orgasms?
Yes.
Right. Do they feel it as pleasure?
No, they feel it as as a completing of a release.
Right. They don't
the
feel
same way. The same way they'll have a bowel movement, not have any regard of, over it.
Right.
Orgasms are the same way. It's a logical function.
So they're involved as in love as a force field, not love as emotion.
Correct. Good.
Yeah. So
that's the way to explain that type of love. If there's no emotion involved in a force field.
Right.
Sometimes within force fields, emotions are wrought, but not within the beast. Now, we know what you're going to say. You just hold on to your trigger just a minute, because you have birds and other things that mate, and they have one mate for life. Certain mm-hmm. birds, mm-hmm. certain mm-hmm. eagles, certain things, they stay together forever and ever and ever. One mate, and that's it. Well, that's only because of the purity, the deist, of their DNA chain.
Mm-hmm.
And once they mate, they stay together that way for all their life, because it keeps a good chain, with so it prohibits DNA breakage.
Oh. Oh. Hmm.
And you said you were going to catch us and say, well, then, you know, how are some birds faithful and other birds sleep around? And that's the difference.
But did you say, you started to say the birds deist? I don't think you meant deist as in
deist.
You were citing the human religion of deism?
Yeah.
You're saying the birds are deist?
Well, if you look at what the deists say they are, yeah.
And what do the deists say they are?
Gods that are precluded into everyone else's dogma.
Precluded meaning not involved.
Pretty much.
So the birds are not involved in human projections, is that what you mean?
Correct.
Are the birds gods?
No. They're... they're as much gods as the religion of a deist is.
The religion of a deist is what, girl?
They're both false premises.
Good.
But the deist believes he's God. Where's the false premise in that?
Because they don't see it there individually as God. They see that they're borrowing the power of God, that their God in knowing would reign supreme over everyone else's being.
Right, that's the deist view.
And that's the problem.
And the mm-hmm. birds have that limitation metaphorically.
Okay, yeah.
You're saying
that... Well, we're not saying the birds are limited, we're saying the deists are limited. But we use that word just so you can understand mm-hmm. how... once they have the turtle doves, when they mate, and then they never mate with anyone else, that's a choice, but it has to do with breakage within the DNA chain.
And why do some species sleep around and some don't?
Because they want to procreate as much as they can, so their DNA strand will be prolific.
Mm-hmm. So they're into quantity, not quality.
Sure. we would want to just say absolutely, but not really so much. They're actually trying to get the most of their seed out.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So therefore, well, let's do it this way. Let's play with it the way the humans do. There's an interesting concept kind of going on that males with large penises
mm-hmm.
breed more than males with small penises, so therefore the DNA chain would increase the size of the male penises
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
over, if you want to buy this evolution business, we don't, but... It's becomes basically just a numbers game, really, really, really.
In evolution, or in what the point you're making?
Well, not in evolution, but in the process of procreating.
Yeah.
You see. So if that's the case, then that becomes a reality. reality, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and then their code, their DNA code, then would transmit that very same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, are all the babies being born having larger penises now? No, we didn't say that. But those that would have that trait, and if they bred more than another, then yes, that trait would be more
prevalent.
Easily prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. It's the same way that they explain the brown eye, blue eye, and the mama has the heavy, so the rabbit has white hair and long ears and blue eyes, and this one has brown, you know, all that, what do you call that, process of the trait prevalence that's called, you know,
genetic selection or something like that, I don't know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That same type of dynamic. Nothing else attached to it other than the running the straight numbers game, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So the birds keep their DNA pure for a numbers reason?
No, the birds keep their DNA pure so they don't have breakage within their code.
And that's wise for them to do that?
Yes. Yes.
Whereas other birds or species, whatever species, will sleep around, they don't have a problem about their DNA code.
They want their code spread as far and wide as possible so that their code is guaranteed a future generation.
That's like another way. See, the birds don't want breakage to keep themselves going, while other species keep themselves going banking on dispersal.
Exactly. Good.
So when the woman, the guy today, was talking about how he was anthropomorphizing the whales, that the big guys gather around to attract the female's attention, all that human drama put in there, and that's not at all what's going on.
No, because actually it's the female whale that's the instigator for sex anyway.
Mm. So, well, I think a friend saw once out there 25, 30, 50 whales in a kind of a circle, right, Carol? And they watched them all around them leaping in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they were doing something. He didn't know what it was. What would be a circular formation be about?
It's their interplay. Just their interplay. They play just like you do, Bob.
Yeah, I was thinking, you watch a bunch of guys on the beach go?
Mm-hmm.
They sit there, they might kick a ball around.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guy will kick it three times with a different foot. And the other guy, okay, and he'd up that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that the moving of the ball around 3 hours later has become a very complex game.
Uh-huh.
That's what the whales are doing when they go up. They're always going up to breathe, and they say, well, I'm going to go up differently. So I'm going to shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
They do it for variety, which would be a common force in all of existence, looking for more.
Mm-hmm.
Creating different variations.
Mm-hmm.
And some will turn sideways and splash and flop and, you know, it just depends on their pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the theory was they twist and flop when they're breaching so they don't land on their soft underbelly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the reason? They twist?
Their underbelly is not soft.
Right. So they're not protecting mm-hmm. themselves. They're doing it for variety reasons.
Sure. The same way, sometimes you go to bed one way and wake up somewhere else or
right.
another way. Nothing odd with that. It's just your preference and your body's response. Yeah.
Yeah, the universe wiggles for new variations.
Good.
Okay, so that's really interesting, eh, Carol?
Very good, yeah. I wanted to bring up the animals during cash flow, but I mean, there isn't a second to bring anything up. Yeah,
maybe
you
should go to the five-hour program.
Right, to the, which Ion can't wait for. We can get that on record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'd love it, yeah.
You want more and more. Yeah, we do that, Karen, because we're open to acknowledging the emails that comes in. We could stop that.
No,
that's the pure, that's how you get your your audience, because some people are listening going, well, no, that's just, you know, they work on this months in advance, and wow, there's something to this.
Yeah, they call in to test us to see how we respond to it.
Well, question. We know, we always know, and we always are cheeky with them. Mm. We have no patience with that because, you know, if you're gonna do that, then the great answer that your non-physical will give you could also bite you in the butt.
Right. So, you know, some, but other callers are genuine, and Ion is very genuine with the callers who are sincere.
And sometimes they start off with this, well, I'm going to get this straightened out, and then the next thing you know, they get a different feeling place, and it changes.
Yeah. Okay, so the next topic was a friend described a PBS documentary on what are called blue holes. Pools of water way down the bottom of the sea that were at the tops of hills and mountains before the ground shifted and then they became underwater. And these blue holes come from the water leaking out of the rocks, shooting up from the bottom of the sea, and they create fresh water or non-salty water there, and there's different life there. Right, Carol?
Mm-hmm, that's good.
So they're called blue holes. I don't have anything to say about that phenomenon.
Just said they're delicious.
Ask something, Carol, about it.
Divers explore these caves and actually risk their lives going down into them.
The water that is what you're calling this, what are you calling the blue holes? Are a different molecular consistency than water.
Uh-huh.
That's why they're noticed as something different.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you're calling a blue hole.
But then relate that to the question of the divers dying. Is that what you said, Carol?
Well, they risk their lives. I think it's more the location and geography of it that makes them susceptible to death. The depth, I think they were talking, well, they call it extreme cave diving. But anyway, the molecular consistency of the water is different. How do you mean, like in what I know about H2O is that its angle can shift. Is there some shifting of the angle of the H2O?
There is, and the degree of their heaviness.
Oh, it's more like deuterium water.
The molecular structure would compile all those radicals in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And there, if you get enough of them, then you start recognizing it as a blue hole. Good.
And the blueness, has that got to do with metals or elements? Like cobalt, I know, is blue.
Yeah. But no, not in this experience, no.
Okay. Now, JW's voice is starting to get raspy. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's just still sipping. But it went a little, it seemed to go a little softer, but the coughing went away.
Yeah, not coughing.
So it's like which way you want it. And it's just that frail, that frail human condition that you get to play with. And sometimes it makes you strain to hear the words.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes can focus the creator who's hearing
it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now,
Carolyn,
mentioned...
Is he coughing because of pneumonia or the dryness in the air?
Right, good question.
No. He got a worry or problem in the world.
What is causing JW to have a cough that he doesn't normally have?
Your words were the best logical progression of the dryness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, they've had heat that they've never had ever since they lived in the house they live in now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They never have heat.
Do they have enough humidity in the house?
Well, obviously not.
How about the filters? I wondered if maybe the filters were
Those filters, those the electromagnetic screens
mm-hmm.
catch most everything.
Uh-huh.
before they even get to the big trunk filters. Because see, those filters are a foot and a half thick. And the size of a large suitcase, and have a holder that they slide into and out of. No, they're right.
But think of, you know, where the air goes through all the ductwork. Are there filters? They filter their air. Their air comes through those ducts, the air conditioner.
The air handlers handle every drop of air that circulates.
Yeah, okay.
But he doesn't have, most of the systems have the thing where they pick up fresh air.
Yeah.
Add it to the system.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that because his little one is pretty easily affected with pollens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you bring in the fresh air, you sometimes are adding those pollens that are, let's call them irritants. So that's what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
That bring those irritants in.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it eliminates, his system eliminates dust mites. And all those other things that can't go through the air handler.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And the screens, the electric part of the screens, clean themselves separately.
Uh-huh.
Meaning once it goes off, they are pulled electromagnetically to the outside, meaning to a different area.
Okay, so two questions. So it's not pneumonia. Nothing like that. It's just the dryness.
Just dry.
And is there something you want to say you can pass on JW about why his son has these allergies? Anything about that?
No, it's just the simple, it's not really allergies. He doesn't take any medications for them at all. He just finds himself a bit more sensitive to certain things than other things.
Mm.
And that's more of a preference than anything else.
He created that. He chose that.
All humans do.
Right, they choose something that they're going to be irritated by as part of their contrast meter.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, so we went into, what we talked about, the blue holes, why did they have a documentary on it, Carol? Because they found interesting life in the blue hole.
Let me think.
Like, what was the fascination with it? They're just a phenomenon of water from the earth.
Well, there's the way they say it on PBS, it's Earth's least explored and most dangerous frontiers, and Ion has been saying that a lot, that we go to the moon but we haven't even explored our oceans.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just
they're just now, they heard the show and decided they better catch up and start mapping the ocean floor to figure out what in the world is really going on, because as you know, there's much more water than there is land.
Yeah, so Carol, when Ion says they heard our show, their non-physical at least heard the show.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah, so when you say the Pope is listening and this and that and Putin, you mean their non-physical is listening.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little more.
No, wait, hold it. So it is not the Pope, the chemical body, listening. Like, does the Pope know about Ion's readings?
Yes.
And did he find it out from the two Archbishop Cardinals that listened to our melting titanium?
Well, we'll be soft with it and say most likely.
Right. Now, and that's the chemical body Pope knowing, not as just its non-physical.
Correct.
Yeah, because if we bring in the non-physical, then everybody on the planet hears our readings, Carol. Their non-physical hears us.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Right, Ion?
That's correct.
And then humans will say, we're salacious. And, well, what about the physical? What physical people know about it? You know what I mean? And maybe melting titanium is more communication with people's non-physical, and Paula Reynolds, the one we had the cell phone number, may not even hear Ion, but her non-physical does.
Precisely.
But you do say that people do hear voices.
They certainly do.
Some do, some don't. But if they're not, and some respond to their non-physical hearing the show more than other people do. That's the way to say it.
Good.
Like that guy who said he was driving in a certain intersection over in Berkeley area, and then he wanted to know what we were doing or something, and he was trying to tune in, and then we told him what he said, and he said, well, something close up, but not exactly. Is not, I was describing what his non-physical said, and he half heard his non-physical, therefore it wouldn't be precise. This sort of vagueness is what we're dealing with here with Ion, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it just made a weird beep here last time happened. It says stop recording. Why does it say stop recording on my phone, Carolyn? You know anything about
you
that?
You probably pressed the memo thing. Okay. Let me say something just about the cave diving. Extreme cave diving follows a fearless team of scientists as they venture into blue holes, underwater caves that formed during the last ice age when sea level was nearly 400 feet below what it is today. These caves, little-known treasures of the Bahamas, are one of Earth's least explored and perhaps most dangerous frontiers. And they discover intriguing evidence of the earliest human inhabitants of the islands, find animals seen nowhere else on Earth, and recover a remarkable record of the planet's climate. They swim hundreds of feet through narrow, dark passages that have trapped and killed divers in the past, but the scientific payoff is considerable. So, yes. And so, yeah, it's like go west, young man, go west. You know, the adventurers keep getting on prime time.
Pretty much.
And look at this right on the page. I'm looking at Exxon Mobil and Synthetic Genomics, Inc. is working to unlock the potential of algae-based biofuels.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say about algae-based biofuels?
They're good. Plankton is plankton. It does just like everything else.
So are they growing it in order to extract oil from it?
They don't extract oil. They create fuel cells out of it.
Mm.
The same way they take corn to make ethanol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Pope has heard about us for a while. Is the Pope is there an update on what the Pope is assessing Ion as broadcasting and presenting?
Well, I guess he's turned up his beep so you can ask him, hey, Pope Pius, what are you getting on your recording on your little listening box? You getting anything good? Beep, 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 beep. Like a big truck backing up.
Yeah.
You know, the papacy is backing up, Bob. That's it.
They're beeping. They're monitoring, but
you know, like when the trash truck backs up and it goes beep.
I know.
Beep, beep, beep.
We got that a lot in New York.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're backing up.
Back up and ready to dump themselves on us. To pick up our trash.
It's you know, it kind of bounces around, but
They are monitoring us, so
and deliciously so. We want everyone to.
Yeah, they're learning.
They are. They're marvelous creators.
Okay, the next
beep.
Yeah, that's my beep.
Is that your beep?
Yes, it's mine. I'm pretty sure.
I'm beeping too.
Yeah, we'll change it in a minute. We've done this before. What'd you say?
We changed JW's thinking it was his, but it wasn't because he doesn't have that anymore.
It wasn't. He doesn't have what anymore?
Beeping.
Which means that it was his.
It wasn't his. He changed. We changed it because he thought it was his.
And then it's still there.
And it's still there, so it
you
wasn't.
Usually don't hear our beeping, though.
No.
Right.
Usually Ion hears it.
No, mine goes on for ages and no one ever says anything.
Well, eventually Ion goes, well, that's interesting, because many times Ion says, what's that beeping? We determine it's ours, not his, and therefore he heard it.
Mm.
Well, Bob's goes different. Bob's goes beep, beep, beep.
Mm.
His is different.
Mm.
Well, we don't hear that. It's just beep, like that beep. That's me or you, Carol?
Let me look at my phone. Mine says low battery.
Yeah, it's yours.
Oh, good.
So mine might be a bit different, right? So
Okay.
But it sounds much like Carolyn's, I think, in my perception. So we,
well, and it's much, because we hear Carolyn's too when it's Carolyn, but it's so faint.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is going to come in on your recording.
It's all right. It shows people we're living organisms. So, okay, so we did, oh yeah, the next question is, we have mentioned the crop circles, but let's, our friend brought it up. So what causes the crop circles?
When you lay down the nodes of the wheat or the corn or whatever to the ground, and they don't break the nodes that the plants actually lay down,
so
or they're laid down.
What apparatus allows that to happen?
Well, if humans do it, they take a stick,
right,
or a board and a rope, and they bend them over.
And they can do it well enough so that it's not broken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So they do it if non-humans or other factors. What other factor makes them happen?
Oh, so you're finally going to get to the question. We made you dig for that one a little bit.
Good,
though,
good,
me?
Good.
I still hear beeping, and I changed mine. So you must be done too, Bob.
Well, it shows the full thing, but I'll come up and change it in a minute. So let's just focus on this. Okay, yes, we've moved the question to a more appropriate level. Go ahead, Ion.
What if human creators from another world try to show you some symbols that you can't see for your damned eyes? Okay, I know what. I know how. Let's do a little test.
Well, can I just say this? I got a great idea that, like, we have our legend, they are showing a legend for parallel world activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's do a just before you change any battery or do anything else, and just leave the recording going. Everything is well. Let's take a segment of refreshment. Dial right back and see if that takes care of your beep.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, but speaking on.
Are we there?
Yes. Now, is there a beep?
Okay. Well, you got to give it a second, but no.
Probably not, which means it was in your world.
No, it was monitored.
Yeah.
It was being monitored, right, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
It was external. And JW System will pick up monitoring.
Okay. Yeah.
So great, it's not there, so we were being monitored.
Yay!
Yeah.
That gives us
which is exactly what we said, so good.
Well, can you say who's monitoring, who was or is?
We don't want to do that.
Right, but you weren't bringing it up during the Vatican topic.
Yes, if you take the cubed root of 8, you'll get that every time.
Get the Vatican.
2.
Yeah, T-O-O.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
2 as in also.
Well, yeah.
I must have said 2, and you're playing on that.
Always.
Yeah, okay. So, the
now, you got, no, what just, if you got symbols, symbols,
are you blocking
symbols.
This because you don't want me to pursue it anymore?
No, I'm trying to answer your
no,
question.
No, we're going to, just this phone thing, this is some people think that the Jesuits and the Vatican have killed and caused a lot of contrast over the last 300 or 400 years, and they consider the Vatican the big boogeyman, at least the papacy and Jesuit control point in Rome. That would Ion see that the Jesuits were involved in killing Kennedy and Martin Luther King? And
well, if they were that powerful, sure, but they're not.
Okay, good. On to the crop circles. Now, parallel world symbolism.
Yes, symbols, symbols, symbols. You have different geographic areas of your planet where lines are laid out that are millions of years old or thousands of years old are coming into play day after yesterday's tomorrow and blah, 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 blah. But anyhow, the Nazar, the Nasser.
Nazca. Nazca.
You're on mute.
Yeah, the
Nazca lines in Peru or one of those places.
They're actually Nazar, but you're right. The way they pronounce it is you actually got that enunciation closely to what they call it, Bob. Good for you. But the Nazar is what they're actually are. But
right.
That's okay. That's okay. Nobody's hurt. Now, those lines and the fine glass that lays out those particular symbols is a form of silica that they can't find there.
Right.
Okay. And they've been there because of the arid climate, didn't get washed away.
Yeah.
So somebody was smart enough to know that.
Yeah.
So that could be a future experience that showed up so you could get used to it by the time it gets there. When you come to understand it, then you can say, oh, well, that's not new. That's been around forever.
Right.
And then they could be real comfortable in that knowledge. So if that's what it takes, sure, no problem. We, you know us, we don't have an issue with that. Not making a big hoo about it, but then there are other symbols that come about. And they say they look like spiders, and they look like all kinds of different things.
Sacred geometry, they see sacred geometry.
Yes, Lord, yes, bless that sacred geometry, yeah. But it's not about the pictures of the spiders and the dogs and the cats and the pussy willows and whatever else that they're a picture of. If you look at the way they're configured, their angles, what they actually are is a multiplicity of symbols in a pictorial that you add a caricature figure regarding.
Mm-hmm. You mean we see the bird, the donut, the thing, and they're not
the
there
same
because
way,
we're missing the angles. They're not there. We're missing the angles.
Correct. The same way that they'll hold up ink blots and see what you see.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's the angles, which then gets into what Ion's been talking about, angles, formation of numbers, and all that. The crop circles are an example of the use of the knowledge Ion is trying to give us the basic
and
primer to.
Right?
You agree?
Yes, but we don't want to say it. If you'll look at those particular anomalies, and that'll give you the symbols, so this could open portals and parallel world travel, we can't say that because you don't want to send somebody off on some dogmatic research assignment to validate how the space Jews came to take over, you see.
Yeah. So, space Jews, they talk about that in Stitchin's books or spin-offs from it, that, you know, Jehovah, the Jewish God, represents an alien power that took over everybody for the last 10,000 years and secretly runs us. So it's appropriate to say space Jews in light of that fringe meme.
Well, we were being cheeky, but it was just too much sugar for a dime. We couldn't resist.
Look at them all the crop circles.
Okay, so you just said you don't want to say that they're a legend for parallel world balancing and interactivity because everybody will say that's what it is, and is
right,
this one, and that,
and
get paranoid about it.
And then number one will say, I didn't get my symbols from there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm less than. Oh, my symbols may not work. I got to get the right symbols because those are the left symbols or the wrong symbols and on and on and on. Because remember, the double helix that you all are creating is your very own, not everyone's.
So that
is true.
What is true?
It's true that those are symbols and they do work. But that's not where you go looking for the symbols. You have to know that the symbols find you. You don't find the symbols.
Mm-hmm.
So if
we're just pointing it out.
Right. And if they're being presented to us, then they're not meant for us.
That's correct. So that is an example of how symbols are wrought. But they are not examples of where you find your symbols.
Right. But those symbols are showing up. What was
more and more?
Yeah, and what was our friend saying today, Carol? That one of the theories was that when UFOs pass through, the vibration from the UFO makes the Earth respond with this formation on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It does. It does. Because you're the human creator, and you can look across the gaze of a field and see trees, and then trees will come up.
Right.
And you can look at a gaze of forest and decide that you can want a clear view, and all the trees will go away, or you'll cut them down, or make toilet tissue out of them. You do all kinds of weird things.
Okay, so when my friend was saying UFO, he's thinking of certain things UFO, but any interworld from different past, present, future, parallel worlds, foreign worlds, whatever, could be lumped in under the name UFO. So it's
Don't even like that because
that's
any human creator that spends much time on an unidentified flying object is less than, because you can know all. So we'd much rather you have human creators speaking about identifiable foreign flying objects.
Right, so that the crop circles are evidence of interdimensional communication, therefore they're identified. That phenomenon is identified by the crop circle.
Yes, and the software that we will that won't corrupt your recording, there are lots of them, it's not the most significant one, but it's an example of how your symbols are attached to be able to dial, sometimes with communication skills, into the party line. And now that's significant. Party line.
You're saying the symbols are examples of the ability to tap into the party line.
Yes. Now, we don't mean like many people on the same circuit of telephoning.
Yeah.
We're talking about many parties in a linear trajectory.
Among different worlds.
Well, you got it, but we didn't say it.
So what was that sentence a minute ago, Carol?
Example of how your symbols are attached to be able to dial into the party line.
Symbols are attached.
An example.
Well, that's legend order. A legend
is
an order.
It is basically just all it's trying to say. Now, this may be redacted, but we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, it is. If it's not, you all decide. But the point is that they left the clues. They left the clues to see if you could figure it out. But if you can't figure it out, then you're not bothered by it. But if you can figure it out, then you're not going on National Geographic and explain it all. And Mr. Fawaz in Egypt isn't going to come tell you that that's how it all works. But there's not one of those symbols that are in the form of a crop circle that you can't find in ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics.
But you were saying if we wouldn't tell National Geographic this, then why is that? Because you told us it's for our ears only.
No, because if you know that, you ain't going to go tell everybody. You ain't going to go tell nobody. You're just going to know it. There's all of this ascension process, you're going to find the more ascended you become, the less you're going to feel compelled and responsible to show everybody how large your phallus is.
Okay, so Mr. Foix, is he head of the Egyptian Museum?
Uh-huh.
Right, we may...
No. No. He is the head Egyptologist, but his power goes... It's more of what not goes out than what is allowed to go out.
He's the censor. And is he a Freemason, a Knights Templar, a
No, and he has a medium small penis anyway, so it's okay.
But he's not interacting with parallel worlds. You know,
I know, and I'm trying to answer just as easy as I can.
He interacts with parallel worlds in that he's around their stuff. But
he
doesn't do it.
And there are portals that are activated. And it's kind of like, let's do it like this. If you work at a nuclear reactor, you are exposed to isotopes that are what you call have a degree of radioactivity.
Yeah.
Now, are you radioactive? Not necessarily. But you're so close to it that you would be exposed without having degrees of, what is it, the Prussian blue that's supposed to take off the, take out the problems of radio, of radioactivity sickness. So he's exposed, gets about most all of it that is, but maybe not quite radioactive. That's a soft way to say it. So it makes an example that's logical.
Yeah, like, so his artifacts activate portals and they're popping up all around him, and he's not fully cognizant of that fact happening.
Yes, but he's had some experiences recently that are making him question, well, as we said, when we put it everywhere, that answers will be questioned.
Right. Now, yeah, that's the received answers, these traditional answers, scholarly answers, will be questioned.
Well, and you all even do it with our answers.
Yeah. So, is he the only one around them getting these experiences, anomalies?
No.
Okay. There was scheduled to be a big Millennium 2000, end of 1999, 2000, demonstration at the pyramid, at the Giza pyramids, and it never happened. Did Mr. Foy have a say in why or that didn't happen, or the celebration?
No.
Did someone else have a say in that?
Yes.
Why did they stop it?
Because they were concerned that they had the capstones and it could activate something even without the capstones because of the human interaction of focusing power, energy, woo-woo.
Yeah, so they... These are the ones with the capstone know this.
Yes.
Yeah, and they knew there's no capstone there, but if everybody started focusing on it, the capstones would wake up or respond. In other words, they didn't stop it because they didn't believe it. They said, man, this will be like, July 16th, 1945, when they triggered off the atomic bomb and didn't know what would happen. It was like that, right? Let's not
exactly
activate
correct.
This.
And, see, here's the trick about this, and here's what they know. The capstones don't have to be on the pyramids to be activated.
What are the capstones made of? What kind of material?
It's the same stuff. It's a crystalline origin. It's very, very, very hard, but it's actually made out of that crap that your reporter, your person said that manna from heaven was gold falling out of the sky.
Oh, Bill Deagle? Is that Bill Deagle stuff? Yeah.
So it's the essence of that, what they call gold ions or something.
So he had the right words but didn't know what he meant.
It's okay. It was just an example.
Of the word, that there's that this
we're
stuff...
We're trying to explain to you what the actual capstones are really, really, really are.
But you bring in his words. You're saying his words are appropriate.
Yeah, because he was saying that that's what manna was this gold falling, raining out of the sky. Well, if you compress that and formed it into a capstone...
Compress the stuff that fell from the sky?
Gold ions.
Describing, yes.
And they do fall from the sky?
Well, that's what he said, and we're not going to push against
it. Yeah, but do you need an instrument to gather the gold ions together?
Yes, you do, and you have to compress it.
Yeah.
So it becomes gold, but it becomes so pure that it's actually clear.
It looks like crystal.
Good.
So it's interesting, Bill Deagle said the words... He's way off in so many things, but he just happened to have the right sentence that we could use, and Ion remembered that. That's very good. So that the capstone is made up of this transparent gold, and...
Yeah, super fun. Now, the Bible speaks of this gold also.
And where is that?
all through the New Testament, and even through some of Psalms, and a little bit in the book of Daniel. But they speak of this heavenly realm where the streets are made of gold. Mm-hmm. But the gold is so, they're like crystal, but they're made of gold, but you can see through them.
That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, did the Council of Nicaea know what that sentence was actually referring to?
No, or they'd have never let it in their canon.
Right, but the original writings that they gathered together, the writer of that line knew what it referred to. Knew that, you know, the writer knew that it referred to capstone gold, right?
Well, not just capstone gold, but that these elements are.
Right, and why did the writer put it into this heavenly realm metaphor?
Because that's what you're trying to get on earth as it is in heaven.
Right, so the crop circles are another example of the thinning of the veil.
Yeah.
Right? And understand the capstone is another example of thinning of the veil, which the thinning of the veil allows us to realign with a time that is, always was, and like Shangri-La is on a different frequency until we align with it. Correct? Perfect words?
Everything is, yeah.
So
everything's on a different frequency until you align with it.
Right. So the crop circles are expressions of, I think you first said months ago they were from the future, but then that doesn't mean anything because there's no time. So they're from we'll call it from another frequency.
Yes.
And we are allowing ourselves to experience that frequency, so they show up. Did crop circles manifest in previous times when people were more aligned, we'll call it in the golden age, when people were more aligned and living for a long time, did they see crop circles show up all the time?
Well, see, that's an issue, Bob, because the crop circles and the anomalies that are on your planet now, they say we're here before time began, so we don't know how you could go back and say that there were others that went away or changed or something when they do their testing on these particular ones, symbols that are, and they're supposedly older than the Earth. But we don't know how to answer your question. Sure.
Okay, so
it's the case, but if you've got some that were here before you were, we don't know when that was, but if they were here before you were, how could you say, did they have older ones than that they erased so nobody would have the Templar code of figuring out how to navigate the parallel worlds?
Yeah,
we don't know how to say that. It's possible, but everything that's ever been still is, so nothing goes away. So, we it's a bit of an anomaly, but your thought process is correct. The answer to the question is sure, but we certainly don't want to confuse your place of understanding just trying to hit a home run on a particular point.
Who's trying to hit a home run, me or you? Me?
All of you.
Yeah. So here it is. Because there's a changing in our frequency and allowance, the thinning of the veil, we're calling it.
Uh-huh. You're noticing more.
Yeah, like that spiral in the over Norway Canal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that's always there or can be there if humans activated, and the veil is changing our lying eyes, so we see things. So the crop circles were always there in the grain.
Mm-hmm.
We just are being changed and see them.
Yeah,
they're not like being somebody's coming and making them happen right now. We're just having the veil lifted, and we see crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see more. We're going to actually probably see the molten earth show up right in front of us in the sky. The molten center just
mm-hmm.
radiate right there. It'll be a surrealistic canvas the world will become, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay, it's 9:15.
Right, so we'll just a final quickie that...
No.
Our friend said that doctors are saying that it's better for men as they get older to get a little fatter, so they protect what, Carolyn?
I don't know.
They protect their heart or...
Yeah, he said heart.
Yeah. Now, we sort of recognize the absurdity of that, but is there something you would say about that?
Well, it's certainly healthy as you, if you're going to age.
Yeah, if you're going to age.
If you're going to age, you might find it more comfortable to increase your mass index just a bit to help you with any grounding issues that you decide to activate.
Yeah, that you might start to, as you get more, what is it, Alzheimer's and that, activate your spiritual gifts by default, might be good to remain grounded because you might find the lamp in your mind can't take it. Is that what you're saying?
No. If you're going to decide to age, okay, and you find out how spiritual you actually, your gifts can be, when you start hooking this all together, it may serve you to be a bit heavier with your body mass index because it will make it more comfortable for you to maintain a grounded position.
So you won't fly off. So
yeah.
It's a balancing thing as you are loosened up as you activate your spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
That's good.
Right. A very good reading. I'll just say this last sentence. So if we see older men getting overweight, we could think, oh, they're just...
Well, screw that overweight.
No. If they look like getting a little too fat, it's not... We won't think that, they're just falling apart and they don't have their youthful energy. We'll say, that guy's activating his spiritual gifts, so he's creating a little extra weight to show his, quote, evolution, or to balance
out. If you look at your empaths, your good or
psychics,
true...
They're overweight. Empath. They're overweight.
Yeah. Most of them, you'd call them morbidly obese.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, but we don't, that's their psyche requires that. You can activate your spiritual gifts and not have to be grounded, correct?
That's exactly correct. Actually, you do better if you're a free radical rather than a grounded stigma.
Right. Excellent. That was a very good session.
Yeah,
very, very good. Therefore, we are happily and forever at peace.